May I challenge you to go home and follow a biblical mandate to give honor to those to whom honor is due? May I challenge you to go home and find the folks who need that and who deserve that and teach your congregation? You say, well, I'm not an elder. Well, that doesn't mean anything. You can still go home and say, you know what, we need to have a dinner and have Brother and Sister Johnson over and get a few folks that love them and just say thank you for what you do for Jesus. We used to do this at Mission Viejo when I lived out there. My wife, actually, I need to give credit where credit is due. Most of my good sermons and all of my brilliant ideas come from Catherine. And she found a little heart at one of those places called Things Remembered. Do you guys have Things Remembered in the mall where you are? You can get engraved stuff there. The ladies all know, the guys are, huh? It's that place in the mall you pass by guys going to head to the Bass Pro Shop or wherever it is you're heading. But they had little crystal hearts. And she got one and had engraved on it the heart of a servant. And there was a couple that had been in our church and worked in fellowship ministry for years. And she said, I want to have two or three families over. And Jeff, I want to give this to them. And I want you to say something nice and make it a special evening. So I called some of the other staff members. They came over to our house that evening and we had this family over. We gave it to them. Now, between you and me, it wasn't expensive. I don't know if it was $15 or something. This lady bawled as though we'd given her the Hope Diamond. Her husband cried. The man is an engineer. He had no concept of crying, but he cried. He didn't understand. And I sat there and I was so convicted. Because Sunday after Sunday, we who preach get you guys coming up to us and saying, oh, brother, thank you so much. Oh, brother, that was so good. And pretty soon we don't notice it until somebody comes up and says something different. In fact, I love the story of being in a place where a fellow walked up to me in a long line of folks saying, thank you, Brother Walling, for that lesson. Appreciated those comments. Shook my hand and said, that was the poorest sermon I've ever heard, and walked away. Man, I thought, youch. I shook a few more hands at this church, and I shook a hand, and here he was again. And I thought, okay, it's a joke. But he looked at me and said, trash. Let's be real. It was just trash, and walked away. And I'm thinking, all right, is this guy angry? What's his problem? He circled around and got in the handshake line again, and I was ready for him this time. He came through this time, and he said, I can't even believe you're a preacher. And I just hung onto his hand, and I said, sir, if you think this is funny, then you need to tell me. And if you've got a problem, I'm willing to listen to you. And a big old hand flopped right on my shoulder. And I turned, and one of the elders from the church said, just let him go. I released his hand, and the man kind of turned and walked away, startled. And the elder said, I don't know what he said, but I need to explain to you something. Benny's been here at our church for years. Benny is mentally deficient. I'm sorry, we should have told you ahead of time. I began to relax. He said, all he does is just wander around repeating what he's heard other people say. So don't worry. There's a scripture I believe you know. The scripture goes like this. Let us not give up. Does anyone know the rest of this? Meeting together as some. No. You have to say it with much more vengeance than that. This was my dad's verse on don't miss church. And it was often quoted when we'd say, oh, Dad, it's Wednesday night. Do we have to go? And he would say, well, the Bible says, let us, say it with me, let us not give up meeting together as are in the... Yes, now there's folks that don't show up on Sunday nights. There's folks that don't come on Wednesday nights. But we shall not fall into that habit. Oh, I always thought I will never say this to my children. You know those foolish things you say as a child. I will never say this to my... I had my youngest son say to me the other morning. We'd had friends over on Saturday night. Spencer was worn to a frazzle. He's only 9 years old. And I'm getting him out of bed. And I'm getting him dressed for church. And Dad. And I'm combing his hair. And he says, Dad, why do we got to go to church? And I said, buddy, we don't got to go to church. We get to go to church. Spencer paused a moment and said, why do we get to go to church? Oh,
this verse has been quoted by preachers and teachers and people saying, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, as though the function of meeting together was just meeting together. But I'm convicted when I read the rest of this verse. You know what it says? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Will you read it with me? It's up on the screen. But what? Let us... And all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us do what? One more time. Encourage one another. Turn to the person on your right. Grab them by the elbow and say, be encouraged. Go ahead, do that. Yes. Now, do you realize you just... All right, stop encouraging each other. Do you realize you just fulfilled a biblical mandate of our assemblies? That part of the function of our getting together is to encourage one another. And the Hebrew writer, whoever he or may be, is the person who said, you need to understand, don't miss church. Oh, I know, I got to go on Wednesdays. I got to go. I can't. I got to go to life group or life share or small group or mini church or whatever you call it at your place. He says, if you simply go to go, then yeah, stay home. Crawl back into bed. Watch ESPN. Watch Trading Spaces. Who cares? Because if you just go to check off a checklist, you can get church on the internet. You can dial up and download sermons. Land sakes, we could have downloaded Rubel Shelley. He's on the internet. Some great stuff. We can ship you communion through the mail. There are even churches where you dial up and they have the automated system to do other things. Press 1 if you want to gripe about the preacher. Press 2 if you'd like to gripe about the elders. I mean, we can provide ways for you to get every bit of church at home except this. Brothers and sisters, if we are marching to Zion together, then we need to develop strategies and ways that we can be encouraging one to another. It is a biblical mandate and it is a spiritual necessity. I need it. Because Satan is a full-time discourager. Can I get an amen on that? He is constantly trying just to break my heart. Sometimes I sit in meetings and I feel like we get together and so much of what we do is just meet together. I saw AOL a while back had some series of pictures of how to read your baby's faces. And I realized I had seen all of those faces in church committee meetings before. I'm serious. Take a look at these real quick. Put them up here. I recognize that face. We're over budget by how much. I remember that meeting. Or this face. I saw that face in an adult ed or an education training class. I told you not to study the Song of Solomon with the middle schoolers. Or this one. Oh, I know this guy. Exactly what do you mean when you say a few people are upset? I know that brother. I know him for sure. Or this one. Me, direct to VBS? You're kidding, right? And I finally love this sweet little lady. She's had enough of the meeting. She simply says, I'm going back to bed. Wake me up next year, all right? How encouraged are you at the church where you are? Now, I'm going to ask you to do a dangerous thing. I'm going to ask you to rate the encouragement you get at the church where you are. Okay? That's kind of frightening. I'm going to simply say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you believe you get tons of encouragement at your church, then don't put your hand up until we get to 9s and 10s. If you believe, oh man, I'm telling you, be honest, I don't hardly get no encouragement, then when we're into 1s and 2s, you put your hand up. But just put your hand up and then lower it when we go by, you know, when we go through your numeric area. You ready? And if you're here with other members of your congregation, just close your eyes. We'll put your head down on your desk, you know, and we'll do it like heads up, seven up, all right? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, be honest, 4, 5, 6, put them high, 7, 8, 9, 10. Woo, praise God for all of that. Now, did you got that out of your system, the important one? How much do you give? 1, 2,
3, be honest, y'all. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How come we have so many fewer of us giving tens than getting tens? Anybody want to think with me about that for a second? Who's supposed to be doing the encouraging at your church? Take your finger like this and point at the Lord. Now put it right on your chest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God gives it to you to give to others. Amen. I want to talk a minute about how to give encouraging words to one another as we march to Zion so that we don't make a mess out of our march. Everybody knows the golden rule. Take a look at it on the screen. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. There's a problem with using this for encouragement. Because what this says is, I want you to encourage me just like I like to be encouraged. And the truth is, there's another text I would encourage you to look at, and it's this one. Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, when I heard this verse, my grandma used to quote it to me. She was talking about cussing. Now, I don't want to catch you using, you know, darn or heck or any of those words like that. But that wasn't what Paul had in mind, really, was it? What language did Paul have in mind? He had unwholesome language that was not good for the building up of others. I'm convinced of that by the rest of this text. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but instead, talk that is good for what? Helpful for building others up. Now, here's a phrase I want you to say and want you to memorize out of the NIV. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Say it with me. According to their, that it may, those who. Here's the challenge, folks. And a truth. Put up this next truth, if you would, for me. People are not McNuggets. Parts is not parts. And my problem is, I often want to give encouragement the same way I like to get encouragement. And sometimes I will even say, well, if you won't encourage me, I won't encourage you. First off, all of us are on duty. You're deputized by God to go home and be encouragers at your church. Invite people over and give them tokens of your esteem. Write people notes. Give them encouragement. But be aware of this. You've got a bunch of people in your church family that are different parts of the body. Take a look at Paul's words here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 18 through 20, and about chapter, I want to say 12, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, I was challenged sometimes back by this verse when I tried to encourage my wife. My wife is a sweetheart. She is a blessing. She is the joy of my life. And let me brag on her. Some of you have said, oh, Jeff, I see you've lost a little weight. It's in self-defense. My wife is preparing in June to run a marathon in San Diego, California, in honor of her brother who passed away several years ago. So she is just becoming this hard body, and I'm like Atkinsing as fast as I can, trying to trim down, because I'm going out there and I'm going to do it with her. Well, I'm going to hold the water. That's going to be my... You got it. Somebody got a hold of water. She's preparing for this, and on a recent birthday that was kind of one of those semi-large ones, I thought, you know, I want to do something special for her. I'll plan a surprise party at a restaurant I know she loves. I called several friends. Now, I need you to know she had a talk with me. Honey, this birthday, I just don't want to make a big deal out of it. Now, I know that I always say that, but I don't mean it. That's just me being nice. Oh, honey, don't make a big deal out of this. But I love parties, and I love being with people. And I know this is, I'm going to kind of share some private things with you, all right? Just between us. I like being up front. I know, it's a shock to you. But so I love large gatherings. And so she said, you're not going to have some big deal for me, are you? No, honey. I do not want a party. I do not want a big party. And I said, honey, I will not throw you a big party. And I didn't. There were like 14 people. That is not big. 30's big. 14 is a small party. And it was a surprise. I drove her to the restaurant. We walked up the steps. On the way in, she's saying, I'm so glad that we're just going to have a quiet evening, you and me. I said, well, honey, at times like this, I wish we could share it. And she smelt something. She just smelt it. And then she looked at the restaurant. This restaurant had a big glass window in the front, and instead of seating the people in the room like they were supposed to, they said, well, we can't seat you till the whole party's there. So all 14 were crammed in the glass lobby, and all of them were looking out the window. And my wife went, oh, no. She looked at me and said, no, tell me they are not here for us. Honey, I love you. Happy birthday. Jefferson, tell me they... Oh, and then of course, now all you women understand. She immediately went, oh my goodness. Oh. Oh. I hadn't thought about it, but she said she would never have worn this if there were going to be all those people in there. Oh, and she looked at me and lovingly said, I will kill you. I will kill you later. And at this moment, I'm looking at the glass and I'm seeing all the people and I realize that glass works two ways. And all of them are all watching my wife going, and I'm thinking, honey, honey, they're over there. Oh, we went in and we had, I mean, she sat right next to me and it pinched me every time somebody said, oh, Catherine, your hair looks so, oh, she'd pinch me. I didn't even get a chance to wash it. Oh, I can't believe that. All the ladies were dressed up and so nice and had the presents, and here was Catherine, and what she considered was just this, I wouldn't even, oh! You may think, Jeff, you're making a big deal. You weren't there, okay? You didn't ride home with me. You didn't get in that bed, that big, cold bed. And finally, my sweet wife broke through it all and said, I know you were just doing what you want me to do for you. Because, see, on my last birthday party, she just took me out to dinner, just us. It was okay. I kept waiting for people to pop up. I actually did. I said to her, okay, when are they coming? I know they're here. And she said, no, really, it's just us. Oh, come on, sweetie. All right, I'll play along. Are the Bryans coming, you know? Sweetie, really, it's just us. And I went home thinking, she did. She did. There wasn't a party. There wasn't nothing. I mean, I got a present, but come on. You say, Jeff, you ought to grow up. Here's my problem. I'm wired that way. And so is my wife. And so are the people in your church. And I want to ask you, how do you encourage people who are different from you? Go to the next slide, if you would, guys. Let me walk through something with you. You see, I really believe the Bible says that we live in a wonderful zoo. It's a zoo where everybody's just a little bit different. Parts is not parts, and we are each unique. And can I share with you some information? When Marvin said, Jeff, do something in this class, I want to share with you something that is some of the most requested material that I do when it comes to doing retreats and conferences for congregations and marriages about getting along and encouraging one another. I want to show you a model that if you haven't seen it before, I promise you this will help you to be a better encourager. If you take a piece of paper and draw a line up and down on the piece of paper, punch that once, but guys, we should get an up and down line. I want you to imagine this up and down line with the word at the top fast and the word at the bottom slow. Now, I want you to think about that as processing speed, okay? Are you a fast processor or a slow processor? Do you think quickly or do you like to think things through more? Now, quickly doesn't mean you're smart. You can be stupid very quickly. Have we all? Yeah, we've all been stupid quickly, right? And you can be wise very slowly. But I want you to look at that chart and I want you to say, where am I on that chart? Am I up in the fast category or am I more down kind of in the slower category? How many would say, I'm kind of up in that fast category. I finish people's sentences. I rock and roll along. How many would say they like to think things through and you're right now thinking, I'm not sure if I'm ready to decide if, okay, all right, good. Now, draw a line from left to right. I want you to look at this line from left to right, and on the right-hand side, I'm going to put the word warm, and on the left-hand side, I'm going to put the word cool. The word warm might be kind of people-oriented. You can think of the word cool as more task-oriented. It's not that the cool side doesn't like people. It's just that the cool side is more reserved about the way they express it. Warm people, you can tell them,
Marvin's red hot. How do you know it? He'll touch you. He don't know you, but he'll touch you. That's just the way he is. I mean, he's a warm person. He loves people, task-oriented people. They're there often more to get the job done because they'd rather kind of draw it in their chest a little bit. It's not that they don't care, but they're not going to be as expressive about it as those warm people who'll invade your space. Now, which side of the line is your mark on? How many would say, oh, my mark is definitely on that warm side. That's just me. Yeah. God bless those sitting next to these people. They think every song is ha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la you. They'll put an arm around you. How many would say, I'm a little more on the cool side? No, their hands don't go up as far as the warm people. They don't. Because they don't want to, you know, they do this. The warm people, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the cool folks, yeah, it's me. Okay, let's just move on. Let's move on with it. I want you to imagine each quadrant here is a room at the zoo. And I want you to put together your two words. Is it fast, cool? Warm, fast? Slow? Oh, hold up, guys. Hold up. Back up just a sec. Because I want to take this one at a time. The fast, cool folks are called bears in our language. We use this at our church to talk about how to deal with one another. Bears go get it done. Bears are wonderful leaders. Bears love to go in, get in, and get the task done. Don't mess with a bear. Bears don't like to be caged. Don't try and tell a bear what to do. Imagine you're teaching a Bible class. Imagine your small group. You got a bear in that small group. Let me tell you, the bear is not interested in long stories. They want to get in and get after it and move on to it. You know how bears are. Go, kill, eat, boom. I mean, that's just the way they work. But sitting right next to the bear in your small group is a monkey. Now, monkeys are fast and warm. Monkeys love stories. Monkeys love to tell stories. Monkeys love to make up stories. Monkeys are just, they're the ones in your small groups. It's like, okay, Frank, thanks. Okay, good. That's good. Yeah. Frank, well, there's a thing. I want to tell you one thing. Just one. You know, this reminds me, the bear is sitting there. Can we move on? Can we just move on? All right. But the monkey loves to talk and loves to be listened to. And finally, the bear says, Frank, we got the point, but can we move on to the next thing? And sitting right next to the monkey, down in the warm, slow area, is a deer. A wonderful, nurturing, caring individual. Someone who is very concerned about loyalty and that everybody's taken care of. In fact, in our churches, the deers are the peoples that ask the question, is this going to upset the Johnsons? Will this bother the Smiths? We need to think carefully about the Stevens family. And in that small group, when the bear is saying, can we move on? The monkey's saying, wait a minute, I want to say something. The deer is saying, let's just not fight, okay? Can we just not fight? And sitting right next to them in the cool and slow category is an owl. Bring him up, an owl. There you go. The owl is an individual who loves to think and ponder about things and will bring wonderful things to the table if you give her time. Deers and owls don't like the pop quizzes. Bears and monkeys thrive on them. So you get in your small group and you say, hey, John, what do you think about this? Mary, what do you think? Mary's a deer. Huh? You ever seen a deer in the headlights? Well, at this point, the monkey's saying, I'll talk for her. What she wants to say. And the bear is saying, let's get going. The owl is sitting over there thinking, why are we asking this question? Or he's saying, number four was misspelled. I don't know if you noticed that. Some of you are married to him. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Now you say, am I one thing all the time? No, God made you to be a wonderful, shiftable person. I am. Anybody want to guess? Where would you put me and those four up there? You know, don't you? I'm an owl. That's exactly where I live. Okay, Lord, I'll tell the truth. I'm up in that fast, warm category of the monkeys. Let me tell you, brother owls, let me be honest with you. You intimidate the fire out of us monkeys. The reason you do is you don't talk enough. Your silence worries me, brother owl. So you know what I try and do? I monkey you to death. Well, Harvey, what do you think there? Harvey, come on now, tell us. What do you think? Come on, spit it out. Just tell it. Harvey, go ahead on. Come on, Harvey. Everybody's waiting on you. Come on, Harvey. Make a comment. Now, think about this in the context of trying to encourage one another. Jewel Shannon was one of the sweetest, dearest ladies that I ever knew. Jewel passed away a number of years ago in Southern California. Jewel was a part of my church in Mission Viejo, and Jewel began the Mission Viejo Church of Christ Library. Jewel had a heart for study, and Jewel worked to get books donated, and she got people to help, and we put shelves up in one of our rooms, and I was so thrilled. And I went to her husband, Lou, and I said, Lou, we want to honor Jewel next Sunday when we open the library. I want her to cut the ribbon with us, and I want her to get her up in front of the church. Lou said, I don't think so. Now, by the way, she helped to get the library going. Which corner do you think she lives in? Yeah. Monkeys like libraries when it's like, yeah, there's a library. Okay, zoom, let's go. Why not? You got to be quiet in libraries. How can you have fun someplace where you got to be quiet? We will go get a book and take it, you know, but we ain't going to stay in there. Jewel loved to read, to study books, time. Guess what this monkey did to honor Jewel? He did the same thing he did to his wife. Oh, yeah. It was a sad moment. I was up in front of church at the end of a Sunday morning service, and the day we were open the library, I began to say, you know, the library, and I began to talk about Jewel, and I saw her back there. And I saw Lou, her husband, I will never forgive him for this, lean over to her and whisper in her ear. And what he whispered in her ear is, Jewel, he's going to call you up. Jewel left the service. I saw her get up and go out. So I kept talking, and I said, Jewel, and I said, oh, boy, goodness, she had to slip out for a minute. Lou, she out in the lobby, wait a minute till Jewel's back. And he went, mm-mm. I said, well, is she in the restroom? I'm sorry, I apologize. And he said, no, she's out in the car. What? Oh, Jewel, just a sec. I'm going to go get her. Y'all, sing a song, Henry, and I'm gonna go get Jewel. I did. A total monkey thinking. I thought, she'll love this. She'll love this. I romped out there to the parking lot, and she was in her car. I heard the click as I headed for the car. Jewel, open this door. We're going to honor you today, whether you like it or not. You get your little self out of that car, and you're coming in there with me, Jewel. Mm-mm-mm. I got her to open the door. I drug her to the front of the church. They applauded. Jewel hated it. I'm so sorry that nobody had said to me, speak to others as others need. Speak to others in a way that will benefit them. Brothers and sisters, that's why some of us struggle so much in worship. Because I think everybody ought to like what I like. So you ought to be encouraged by what I'm encouraged by. And you ought to like what I like. Back up for a second to that matrix for one more sec. Back up one screen if you could, guys. Do you know that the types that wig us out the most? You see, as a monkey, I relate to bears that they're fast. As a monkey, I relate to deers that they're warm. Owls are from Venus. But you know, I know also, owls, nuts. Now, if you were monkeys, I'd say amen. If you're owls, just blink twice. Some of you who are in church leadership, think about an elders meeting with all four of these guys in attendance. An idea comes in, and the bear says, all right, boom, 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 boom. And the monkey says, oh, Bob, what do you think about this? And the deer is thinking, man, how's everybody going to feel about it? And the owl is saying, you know what, we need more time to talk about this. We need time to pray about it and come back and think on this. See, as a minister, I used to walk in, and I thought that I'd share my ideas with the elders as though they were all monkeys. So how did I share them? I shared them verbally and with funny and with stories and spontaneous. And I wonder why half the time I got nowhere. I began to realize that my eldership, God had blessed us to give us an eldership with all kind of parts. The owls wanted it in writing ahead of time. So I thought, okay, I'll give everybody copies of this big report. We had monkeys. You tell you what, you give a big report to a bear, he reads the first bulleted page. You give a big report to the deer, they'll give you a note saying, that was a really well done report. You give a report to the owl, they make notes on every page. You give a report 2 weeks ahead to the monkey, and he comes in the meeting and says, anybody got a copy of that report? I had mine. I just left it at the house. And the deer will have an extra copy because they will know. Now think about the people that you need to encourage in your life. Think about your spouse. Most of you did not marry your same animal. How many here married an animal that is not in your box? How many married somebody? Yeah, look around, folks. We don't marry ourselves. Two monkeys wouldn't get nothing done, right? Besides, there's got to be a laugher and a teller, right? I got to have somebody to laugh at my jokes. So God brings us together in these families, and then He says, now, Jeff, speak to one another words that will encourage each other. And I say, okay, God, how do I encourage a bear? Bears are people who are driven by and love simply noting the accomplishments. If you're going to go home and encourage a bear, the crystal heart may not be the best idea. But a list of things that bear has done, that bear, you know, maybe can put up in their office or put up someplace that says, here are things you've accomplished. Look what you've done. But now monkeys, while monkeys love the plaque, don't you dare give it to them in private. Get those monkey, my monkey brothers and sisters say, ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah? You know what I'm saying, don't you? Don't you dare come to me privately. By the way, here's a little plaque. Thank you for what you're doing. Well, get them up. Stand him. Why do you think we had Marvin up here in front of everybody? And why do you think Dot was saying, can we sit down? Can we just sit down now? She lived with that baboon long enough. She knows. I need to stop and say, what will most encourage Jack? What will most encourage Mary? If you write a card of encouragement to a monkey, what kind of things do they love? They love things that are people-oriented. They love something that's funny. I mean, if somebody writes me a card and it's all serious, like, whoa, okay, I got to shift to my deer thinking to get this. If I get a card from a deer, it is written all down this side and all down the back. And it's all this mushy, wonderful stuff. Cards from owls are thoughtful. An owl will take a time to pick that card out. And then just the right scripture and just the right thing to say. And he knows when he gives it to that monkey, it will get, oh, that's great, thanks, man, let's go. Don't do that. Take time when you get that from the owl to open that. Take time to respond to her in a way that benefits those who listen. Preachers, guess what? You got a zoo every Sunday. Do you preach only in your style? At my congregation, I'm trying to surreptitiously look at my watch. In my congregation, I do handouts and outlines with my sermons. Okay? Is there anybody here from Providence Road? I hate it. Outlines are so confining. And all that stuff. And fill in the blanks. It's like, man, this feels like a classroom. Guess who loves it in my church? Some of the owls love the fact that they can make notes and they love the fact that it's laid out. But I've got to make sure that I've got things that for the bears are going to hit them. And I'll bring in a story that tries to touch the heart of the deers. You see, just as Paul says, I try to be all things to all men. As we teach, as we preach, and we encourage, we need to remember, yes, I want to do to others as I want others to do to me. But I want to speak to them in a way that will benefit those who listen. As long as I'm here, let me talk about correction for a minute. If we've talked about how to commend each one, a deer is wanting something that's going to be touching and show how they're touching the lives of others. Monkeys are, yeah, they're going to like something fun in public, but also on that people side. Owls, you know what Jewel would have loved? What would Jewel Shannon have loved? A book given privately that I took time to find that had an inscription that was meaningful that she could keep and come back to week after week. I gave her a plaque that was to be put up in the library so everyone could see it with her picture on it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that brilliant? Of Bobby Baboon. When we correct one another, I need to be sensitive to this as well. If you're coming to correct me, please don't do what an owl elder for years did to me. Write me a note and stick it in my box. And here comes the monkey. And I get that note and I open. Oh. I love him. Good guy. Used to call him Bob Missiles. There's a Bob Missile in my box. Bob would just lob them into my territory. And as a monkey, what's the first thing I did? Picked up the phone and called him. I just monkeyed right back at him.
He'd owl at me. I'd monkey at him. Until finally somebody said, don't you know that Bob's doing that because he feels it's the best way to communicate? So I tried writing. You know, I got such good response from Bob because it was in a format that he was comfortable with. If you're going to come and correct a monkey, hug me. Laugh with me. Cry with me. See, I thought that's the way you ought to correct everybody. Not so. An owl wants time. An owl wants to be able to think about things. Oh, I still have the biblical mandate of going to them, but I try and write something first because I want to give them the chance to think on it. If you correct me quickly and leave, I'm very cut. You do that for a bear, they say thank you. That's appropriate. Get in, get it, understand it. Thanks, go. For them, you know, oh man, listen, I just want you to know. No, really, no. I know, and I know how much you, but I appreciate you. And I'm gushing. And for the bear, that's like, I have to cut off your leg, but I'm going to only cut it off an inch at a time so it won't hurt. Here we go. And the deer wants to know that there's a relationship there. And that this is really about the body. I had to sit down with a deer who had just made some really poor choices. And I thought, oh, wow. And I tried to think, what would matter most to this sweet, sweet deer is how his actions had touched other people's lives. And when I began to talk in that frame, oh, his heart just opened up. Had I come at him from my monkey style of, now listen, this is all about you, it would not have meant as much. Can you see how this is simply a way of trying to get us out of the framework of saying, I can only do it my way? Now, I want to show you, and I left myself 60 seconds to tell you something so cool I came across about 6 months ago. Put this up. Let me see if I can do this fast. Some people say, Jeff, if I am who I am, how can I change? How can I ever learn to encourage or correct? Keep going, guys. In a way that's different. Keep popping up. Changing old habits is hard. Take a look at this. Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't you dare tell me you can't change how you do things, because God has equipped you to do so with something called GABA. Can everybody say GABA? One more time. GABA. Can you say thank God for GABA? Now you say, what is GABA? Jeff, I feel like I'm speaking a foreign language. Gamma aminobutyric acid. Let me tell you one of the coolest scientific facts I've come across in years. Did you know, guys, just keep popping through these PowerPoint screens with me. This is how habits work. Brain stimuli is received and translated into electrochemical impulses. All that means is I'm used to seeing something and boom, I react. As one thought triggers another, the series of mental buttons is pushed, ending in a physical response. In other words, I see something, boom, 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 I react. I see the siren, wow, I pull over and get my wallet out. I mean, that's just immediate reaction. Repeated sequences of stimulus and response develop what we call paths in the mind. That's your habits. That's why you act a certain way. Now, over time, the brain establishes a preferred path for stimulus, which streamlines the process, providing an almost instantaneous response each time it's triggered. We call it a habit, or you can call it a conditioned response. Now, here's the cool thing. We say, oh, I've always been this way, Brother Walling. I've just always been this way. Yeah, you'll be a deer or a bear, an owl or a monkey probably till you die, but you can learn new habits of how to encourage others. And here's how it works. When we repeatedly, purposefully choose a different response through cognitive practice, the brain releases something called GABA. It is gamma aminobutyric acid. That's what GABA is. Let me show you real fast. And I got to do this down here. Do it real, real, real fast and we'll be done. Okay, we'll drive the camera guys nuts. Would you stand up, sir, right there? And sir, would you stand up right there? And sir, would you stand up right there? And sir, would you stand up? I'm going to get you right here, big tall guy. Great. Okay, super. Here's what you're going to do. I'm going to ask you to be the stimulus, and I'm going to ask you to point and say, see it, good and loud. You're going to go over there and say, see it. Can you do that?
Say it.
Oh, you got to do it louder than that for the back.
Say it.
There you go. Okay, so you see it. And that, now he just saw something which caused him to, I want you to shout, think, would you?
Think.
And then it sends to another part of his brain, and it
think.
And then it sends to another part of his brain, which says, take action.
Take action.
Okay, now watch how this works. This is your brain at work. Sometimes we see a stimulus. Maybe we see a beautiful woman walk by.
Say it.
Yeah, I know. And then I think, oh, my goodness.
Think.
Yeah, she's lovely. And I tell you, my word, she is.
Think.
Yeah, and maybe I'll even be driven to
take action,
which could be a bad thing, all right? Can you see how a bad habit could quickly develop? Internet pornography and other things work like this. And we get faster. See how fast you guys can do it. Go.
Say it.
Think. This is your brain on drugs, all right? Here we go. No. Here we go. Go faster. Get down here closer together, guys. Real quick. Come right on there. Come right up on stage with me. Hurry right up here. Hurry. Get right up here. Here we go. Now watch this. You will not forget this. Watch this. These guys are brain cells, all right? Each one of them represents a brain cell. God made you in such a wonderful way. Watch how you can change a habit. Here we go. Get ready. What? You ready? Right over here. You're an owl, aren't you? I'm glad you're with us, Joe. That's all right. Here we go. Fast as can be. Go. Faster. Faster. Can you see how after a while we say, oh, honey, I did it without even... Because it happened so fast. Now, what if that is a bad thing? Watch quickly. What if you... put it up, if you will. The holy, however... Back up one. The holy, however, off-ramp is when I say, I'm going to renew my mind by deciding when I say it and I...
Thank you.
I'm going to say, however... And now I'm going to point out here at a fella wearing a beard and a maroon shirt. Would you stand up? Really? And yet shout different action when I point at you. Watch this. We're going to change an old habit.
Think.
That's right.
Think.
However, now I'm creating a new path right here. The brain goes, oh no, we have two paths. We can't have two paths. One of them has to be predominant. And so right here, God releases something called GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, which is basically a policeman, which says, all neurological impulses will proceed down this path from now on. Don't you tell me I can't change my habits. I've always been this way. Praise God for GABA, because that gamma aminobutyric acid is a way of us renewing our minds by purposefully deciding it. Now, folks, this is tough, and it won't happen overnight. Had a man come up last night and pray with me about pornography, another about same-sex attraction, and I heard and I ache for some of these folks, and I know this. These things don't change overnight. God forgives you of your sins. He doesn't take away your desires. Amen. But I tell you what, even though I'm wired a certain way, I can develop the ability to say it.
Thanks.
However, you got it. Now, understand that the more I do this, God's going to bless me through His Holy Spirit. That GABA is the wonderful physical thing that gets released, and I develop a new path. By the way, one little help for this, sometimes a physical help will trigger. Christian counselor was talking to me about this, said, Jeff, people need to understand this. There was a young man who, whenever he would see a woman, would lust, it would lead him into pornography. And so he said, what you've got to do, when you see a woman,
say it.
Thanks.
Now, my thought is, normally I would think, oh, look at her body. But now he says, however, he says, do two things. Look at your watch. And then say, she is a beautiful sister, a creation of God. She is a beautiful sister, creation of God. And then say, thank you, God, and walk away. I said, why do you have to look at your watch? Normally, I'd say, well, son, you just need to look away. He said, you have this beautiful woman there. You look away. Oop, there's another one over there. And oop, there's another one over there. He said, I tell him, look at your watch. Ain't nobody going to lust after their watch, all right? Besides, it's the most natural thing in the world to glance down at his watch, and it became a trigger mechanism for him that he took the holy, however, off-ramp. Normally, he'd lead right into lust, however, and guess what? When he
saved,
he would immediately say the first thing that came into his brain when he saw a beautiful woman was, God. Thank you, God. Would you thank all these brain cells? Thank you, guys, very, very much. Thank you. You can go back and sit down. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Someone is waiting back home for you to encourage them when you get home from Tulsa. Do it in style, but do it in their style in a way that will meet their needs. Pray with me, will you? Thank you, Father, for this time. God, I ask you to bless these folks through the rest of their day. Father, I especially ask you to bless all our teachers that will be teaching in classes following this. And God, I have to ask today at 2 o'clock that you bless me as for the first time I get a chance to preach and teach here at Tulsa with my son, Taylor. Thank you, God, for my children. And Lord, may I understand each one of them. As parents, may we see them in their own style. And God, may we raise them in a way that befits that style. Lord, send us out as an army of encouragers marching to Zion together. Let us encourage the one another, and all the much the more as we see the day approaching. Come, Lord Jesus. And all that agree say, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, be encouraged, my brother, whatever animal you are. Great. God bless you. Thank you.